Did your husband ever have an opportunity to visit Denmark?
Yes, when we got married, our honeymoon went to Copenhagen, and we stayed for 3 months in Copenhagen.
And was his reaction to Copenhagen?
Oh, he just loved it. Mm-hmm. He loved the Danish mentality and the sense of humor, and he liked the Danish food especially. And he just loved to walk in the streets, especially around Town Hall Square and Strøget.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved the little stores and especially antique stores. And he loved Tivoli, of course. And we went up north to Elsinore. And we went down to Frederiksborg Slot, mm-hmm. and saw that, and to Odense. We visited Hans Christian Andersen's town.
Was there any talk then that possibly the two of you settling down in Denmark?
No, he couldn't very well on account of his business. Uh-huh. Was all
mm-hmm.
back in Santa Cruz.
Did you have any children together?
No, unfortunately, we didn't.
Mm. So there are no children left behind in the States?
No.
Just now?
No.
While you were working at Lees, or any place else you have worked in the States, have you ever had to join a union?
No, it wasn't necessary at Lees. It was family. Family owned.
Are we just trying to establish how necessary a union might have been at that time?
No, I haven't had the use for it.
You mentioned that you were a member of a church in Santa Cruz,
yes.
The Presbyterian Church. Did you do anything with the governing of the church? Did you participate, volunteer in the running of the church?
I didn't have too much time to volunteer for anything. I was just attending, you know, service on Sundays.
Was there a reason for joining the Presbyterian Church?
I had met a very nice lady at Leesk who was a member of that particular church, and she encouraged me to become a member, also to get acquainted with people and get friends that way.
You were living in Denmark, you would have been raised probably in the Lutheran religion.
Yes, that's right.
And so this was a change for you, wasn't it?
It was a little bit different, not too much, I don't think so.
Your father was a musician. Did you do anything with music yourself?
Just amateur, playing the piano for my own pleasure, and that's all.
Did you do any playing in the States for pleasure, for your friends?
I had a small Hammond organ, which I still have in my house, and I enjoyed playing that once in a while, not too often. But I like music very much.
Oh, good.
If I walked into your little house,
yes.
What is there in that house that would say a woman who was raised in Denmark lives here?
It's painted red and white, like hopefully. Well, actually, the house is white, and I just painted the window frames red because I like these colors.
Yeah.
You know,
What about in the decoration of the house? Is there something that's maybe a little different because you're Danish?
I tried to, have a little bit, some Danish color. Oh yes, I recall now, my girlfriend had been sending me every year for Christmas a calendar of these beautiful pictures, you know, from all places in Denmark, a castle and landscape. And I have framed these as a picture, put all over my room. So it has all Danish pictures. I have just a small little bit office for myself, and I have all over the wall these Danish calendar pictures, and they really remind me about places in Denmark. So,
what about handwork? Has that ever been an interest for you? Things that you do with your hands?
I like to knit and sew, and but still the time I really worked almost every Sunday and really stayed beside working at least, so it didn't give me much time to do anything.
Now that you're here in Denmark, mm-hmm. and I know you're caring for your mother, are you doing any other kind of work?
Not yet. I plan on attending night school, you know, with Copenhagen has, so I think it's almost free.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn almost anything you want.
When you were in the States, did you use any Danish cooking?
Yes, somewhat, and then the American way.
They have a little competition here.
What were some of the favorite Danish things you made?
Oh, I love to make meatballs for my friends, and...
And you make the Danish meatballs?
Danish meatballs, yeah. And then with the potatoes and a little bit of gravy, not too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then around Christmas time, I like to make national dish, you know, wishing curd with...
And that's rice, kind of a rice thing.
Yeah, rice thing with...
Did you, when you had people over, did you, when you were in the States, did you have served them mostly Danish, mostly American as a get-together?
I think I associated most with American people.
Mm-hmm. But the foods you served, the foods you gave them?
It would be Danish, yes, or the way of cooking in Danish, I remember.
Have you had any opportunity to use your English while you have been back here? Do you find it useful, maybe I should ask?
Yes, I do. Just watching television, I don't need to look at the translations. I listen to what they speak, and once in a while I buy a American newspaper and, on the central station. And I like to still see what's what's going on.
That's what's going to be my next question. Are you interested in what goes on in the States?
Yes, very much. Yes,
and you follow it then?
Yeah, I don't want to lose out on what's going on.
Do you keep in touch with many people in the States?
Yes, I really do. I keep in touch with my former co-workers, at least one. She writes to me and I write to her, and she keeps me informed what's going on. And also I have several friends, one from still from the church, and he corresponds. And I have another friend, a lady friend in Santa Cruz, and I write to her, and we keep in touch.
So not only are you able to keep on top of the news of the nation, but also what goes
local,
on.
Local news, yes, that's true.
You were married in the States.
I was married in the States, yes.
How did your family accept your American husband?
Oh, they just loved him. He was so happy. And he just loved to make other people happy. He loved to spend money on you, go out and have a good time. And he loved to dance, and he loved music. He was just
Did he feel at home here?
Yes, he loved it. He just loved it.
And they felt at home with him then?
Yes. Miss him very much.
Yes. I can understand.
Yeah, he was in a happy, happy fellow.
Good.
Yeah, happy mood. And
What do you think were possibly some of the most important things that influenced you in the United States?
That's a hard question.
Or changed you?
Yes.
Was there any one person or any one event that maybe you feel has had an influence in your life?
I really think meeting my husband, that was the really my best time, or the best years of my life. I really believe so.
I certainly say thank you very, very much for letting us be here.
Oh, and so sharing welcome. Your experiences
you're
with us.
Most welcome.
And you're wanting to go back.
I still want to go back someday.
Good, I hope you'll ring us up when you get there.
I certainly will.
Thank you, Milton. Thank you.
stands
it
for?
It stands for Rainier, which is my father's first name. And if I had lived in Iceland, it would have been my last name, as the father's forename becomes, you know, the last name.
Was your father an immigrant to Denmark from Iceland, or how?
Yes, he was born in Reykjavik, and he came to Copenhagen very young, 19 years old, to study music. And he lived in Denmark ever since 1917.
Do you know, was it just to study the music that he came, or was there other reasons possibly?
It was to make a living in Copenhagen.
And then he met
my mother.
Would you give us your mother's name?
Her name is Nova Edith Hansen.
Hansen. Would you tell us where you were born?
I was born in Copenhagen, in a little part that's called Valby, or district, called Valby in Copenhagen. And I lived there until I was 18 years old. And then we moved to another address in Copenhagen.
Would you mind giving us your approximate age?
No, I am now 58. And
What kind of school did you have in Denmark when you were young?
I went to seven grades straight from first to seventh grade in a little school in Valby.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any other education beyond that?
No, I didn't. Because then when I was 16, I went in and took a trade, being a shoemaker. There was so many women who became shoe workers. Mm-hmm. Now, don't think about just, putting on the soles. It's not repairing. It's making the upper part of your shoes, which was
required
a shoe factory.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
And that took 3 years. So I was in a shoe factory in Copenhagen for 10 years altogether. And I was 16 to 26. Then, of course, in between was the war, and we had all these 5 years where we practically couldn't go any places. And when the war ended, that means my sister and my brother and I, we immigrated to Iceland.
Oh, you went from Denmark to Iceland?
After the war.
What encouraged you to go to Iceland?
We had heard that there was good money to be made, and also to get out of this sort of imprisonment we felt we were so enclosed, you know, after the Germans had been here for 5 years.
How much did you know about Iceland?
Well, my dad and his sister and his family. Of course, my dad was in Copenhagen, but his family still lived there. Yeah. So that was also one reason why we wanted to visit them, and at the same time, we could make good money.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not as if you went to a strange place. Your father had told you about it.
Yes, and our aunt, she lived.
What kind of work did your father do when you were a child?
Well, he was a musician.
He was a musician, professionally too?
Yeah, professional musician, yes.
And how many sisters and brothers were you?
I have a sister and a brother who went with me to Iceland. But beside that, I have still two brothers.
Mm-hmm. And your parents stayed in Denmark at that
time? Yes, yes, they both stayed in Denmark.
Where did you go in Iceland?
We moved to Reykjavik and lived there for a year and a half.
And did you find jobs and money?
Yes, we did find a good job in Reykjavik.
And what did you do there?
The same as our trade was in Copenhagen. There was a shoe factory and they manufactured very fine shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my brother, he had a trade of his own, being a tool maker.
Oh, yes.
So he also made good money up there.
What about the language? Had your father taught you Icelandic?
Very little, but as they spoke Danish in our family there, and many Icelandic, they still speak Danish or understand Danish.
So you didn't have any particular problem?
No. They could understand us and we could understand some of the Icelandic.
Mm. And you kept that job all the time you were in Iceland, the shoemaking
job? Yes,
I
did.
How long were you in Iceland?
A year and a half.
Mm-hmm. And what caused you to leave Iceland?
If I recall, I wanted to come back to Denmark again. And let me see, that was 1947. No, I was just longing to get home to Denmark again.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt that also Icelandic being as an island and it was isolated, we felt we had to get out of this isolation again.
In the time you were there, did you learn Icelandic?
A little bit, but I have forgotten it now.
Mm.
Yes, it's very difficult language.
How did you feel going back to your father's land?
Oh, it was
did you feel any kinship to the people there?
Yes, I did, yes. Mm. It was a marvelous experience, beautiful up there.
Mm.
We traveled a bit up to the northern part of Iceland and around.
When you came back to Denmark, when did you start to think about going to the United States then?
That was in around 1950, I believe. As my mother, she had relatives in New York, and they wrote somewhat that I should try to come over and visit them. But it took 4 years before I finally got all the papers and everything.
Did you go with the idea of really becoming an immigrant or just a visitor? Did you think you might stay?
I thought about taking a job. So that was the reason I took immigrant visa.
I see.
Because I had in mind to stay, probably.
And you landed in New York?
And I landed in New York in 1954. And I stayed with my relatives for 8 months. Then I moved to San Francisco to visit.
How did you find out about San Francisco? That was a long ways away.
That was a long way, but my father had some relatives in San Francisco, and I visited with them, and they invited me to stay, and then I tried to get a job, which I was lucky to get a job.
How much English did you know when you sailed for the United States?
Not very much, but I had taken kursus at the evening school in Copenhagen to learn to speak a little bit, but not very much. It all came, you know, by talking with people, and I learned from the newspapers and radio. And
did you ever have any real problems because you didn't speak speak English?
I think there were some minor problems, but not very difficult.
I can't recall.
I can't recall that.
Did your family in New York speak Danish at home?
They spoke Danish only.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to keep up the Danish, and they didn't speak much English. No.
How did you get then from New York to San Francisco with just a little bit of English?
I don't know. I managed. They had ordered the ticket for me. I went by train.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have much change to make, so I came to San Francisco, and then I had the address of my relatives, and I could call them up, and they I think they picked me up in the airport.
Mm. Oh, you actually flew to San Francisco? You
didn't? No, wait a minute. No, at the train station.
Uh-huh.
In
okay,
Oakland,
yeah.
Of course.
Yes,
yeah,
yeah,
it should be.
How did you go about finding a job in San Francisco? It's a big city.
Yes, it is a big city. My relatives helped me a little bit. They let's see. First, I tried a job in a factory with lots of immigrants. They were making shirts on, you know, on an
assembly line.
Assembly
mm-hmm.
line, and that was really a tough job because so many different nationalities, and I didn't stay there more than a couple of months. I just I couldn't take that assembly line. It was too much.
What kind of other groups of people did you work with? You were Danish. What were they?
Oh, there were Italians and Spanish and Mexicans and Germans and French people, I think almost
everything. Did
yes,
you feel any
yeah.
prejudice against you?
Or did you, was it strange for you to be with these people who were different?
Yes, I couldn't understand too much English, and I think it was kind of a strange feeling there.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they didn't have any thing against me being a Dane, but as I say, I didn't stay there very long. I think it was the peace work. It was just
mm-hmm.
too rough
and then
for me.
Where did you go?
Then I went to see the Danish newspaper called Bien.
Mm-hmm.
They had an offer. I heard about it, and I asked them if they could possibly find a job for me. I was looking for a job, and I could maybe take a housekeeping job. And then it just happened so that Danish general consul, they needed a girl to take care of the apartment and the cooking. So I was so lucky to be engaged with this nice consul, and
Who was the consul general at that time?
At that time, it was Mr. Frode Schön. And I stayed with them for a year and a half. And that was a really wonderful experience. They had all kind of parties. And of course, I just took, I cooked their, just their everyday meal, and I took care of their beautiful apartment up on the Knob Hill, on the top floor there of that big Knob Hill apartment. But when they had to entertain, they always had extra help, an extra cook and a waiter to take care of the drinks. And
did you have use for your Danish language at that time? Did it come in handy?
Yes, it did, to speak with the consul. They spoke Danish to me. And some, there was some other Danish people visiting with them. But mostly it was English or American.
Is there one particular party or doing during the time you worked for the council that stands out in your mind?
They had many wonderful parties, but there was one in particular for, was it a prince? I know I forgot which one it was, but they really had a royalty visiting, and everything had to be just so and perfect all over, and it was just it was really a thrill for me to be able to be around and see all these different people. I can't recall the name of who it was, but it was a Danish royalty.
You said you stayed there about a year and a half.
A year and a half. But then unfortunately I became ill. I got rheumatic fever, which I once had as a child. And I got a severe recurrence. And I had a Danish doctor in San Francisco. He advised me to go back to Denmark to get well. First, because of the hospital insurance I didn't have, and it was really, I was really sick. I just couldn't work, and I couldn't walk the hills. I used to walk up and down the Powell Street, the streetcar, and all these hills. I just couldn't take them anymore. So I had to leave in 1957, I had to go back to Denmark to get well. See, with this rheumatic fever, the doctor thought maybe I eventually had to have a heart operation, but it wasn't necessary. I became much better going home to my family, and I didn't work for a long time. I think I stayed 1 year home, and then I got one more extension, so altogether I stayed home 2 years in Copenhagen from 1957 to 1959.
How had Denmark changed?
In the 2 years?
Yeah, at least from when you first started to live in Denmark.
Don't recall, there was too much change from 1954 to 1957. I didn't notice that much change.
We're going to come back to that again, but it is now.
Yes,
Well, but you didn't stay home though, did
no,
you?
No, because I still felt, no, I had to come back again before my immigrant's visa was running out. So I took off again in 1959, and at this time I came to San Francisco again, by, I think it was by ship this time, the United States from England.
Uh-huh.
I think I took the train across the Denmark and the boat to Southampton in England, and then the United States of America. I sailed to San Francisco, and this time I also went back to Bean and talked to them about maybe finding me a job, and then they looked in the advertisement again, and there was a lady down in Scotts Valley near close to Santa Cruz. He needed someone to help out in the kitchen, and I was in an old restaurant called the Danish Inn in Scotts Valley.
And would you mind giving us the name of those Danish people there?
No, their name was Tina Lynn. Her husband passed away some years ago. But it was through them and their place in Scottsdale I met my husband.
Mm-hmm.
He's now passed away though.
And his name was?
He was Harold Mitchell, and he was an American.
Where was he born?
He was born in Kansas, Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas.
And what kind of work did he do in the Santa Cruz area?
He was a real estate developer.
Mm-hmm.
And we were married for 7 years only. And then he became very ill with the Parkinson's disease, and he passed away in 1970. And then I came to Leesk because I had to get a job, you know, to get over it.
And Leesk is a department store.
At Leesk department store in Santa Cruz, and I was there until I left.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to go back to Copenhagen, you know, as to take care of my mother.
And when did you come back to Denmark?
Last year, December 1977.
During the time that you were in Santa Cruz, did you get to be with other Danish people in any way?
Yes, I was a member of the Norwegian club in Santa Cruz, and I met Norwegians and Swedish and Danish people.
And what about, how much contact did you have with Denmark at this time? Did you take a Danish newspaper or?
No, I just had the contact to my family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't. I didn't really follow the political or anything going on in Denmark. So that's why it was just a tremendous change when I came.
That was going to be my next question.
That was just enormous. I just couldn't believe it.
Now, in what way do you feel Denmark had changed in those years there that you had been traveling?
First, all the Copenhagen had changed, you know, all the new buildings, and I think the people, the young people on the street, and all, you know, all the robberies and.
It wasn't quite the snug world.
No, it wasn't safe anymore. As when I left, I thought it was a rather safe place to live. Now you couldn't walk in the streets at night.
Mm-hmm. The living room we are sitting in, is this the family home? Is this where your parents?
Yeah, no, we lived in Valby. I was born
in
Valby. Then we moved here just before the war.
Mm-hmm.
So 1940. We came here, and my mother has lived here all these years.
So this is home.
This
to
is
you.
Home. Yeah, 30. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
During the time that, because it was not a very long time, you were in Santa Cruz. How involved did you get in American affairs? Did you participate in the things that are going on in America?
Oh yes, by of course reading the newspapers and follow the television and speaking with people, various people.
Did you join any clubs or societies?
I joined the church in Santa Cruz, Presbyterian church, and I met many people. And
did you take any schooling or education while you were?
Yes, I did. By the way, I took a real estate exam, and I went to Cabrillo College for 4 years. At night, when I was working at LISC, and it was just marvelous to learn something, and I liked that real estate, since my husband was involved.
Well, it sounds like his job rubbed off on you.
Yes.
But did any of your Danish rub off in your house or on your husband?
Very little. He could only understand a few Danish words, as he was speaking American.
Mm. What about your house? Did you have anything in it?
Oh, my little house in Capitola, yes. We moved to Capitola, and I own a little house very close to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this rented out now as long as I'm here in Copenhagen.
Do you think you'll be going back to the States?
I hope eventually. Later, yes.
Did you ever become a citizen?
Yes, I became a citizen in 1974. And after taking the citizenship at night school,